The success of RuPaul's Drag Race has created an unprecedented nationwide demand for fierce drag queens. For many of the girls, being on the show is a life-changing moment. So naturally, it's hard to keep a secret when the program gets taped 6 months in advance.
Today we're dishing it up with Michelle Visage, RuPaul's soul sister who serves up reality TV judge realness on Drag Race. We've got the pop diva tied up in our home studio, and we're trying to break her iron will to get her to reveal the secrets of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 5 and All Stars. Who will be the queen who cracks first?
Join us for this and a whole lot more. Drag Stars at Sea, a cruise where practically every single contestant from the show's four seasons will be performing on one ship. Don't worry about the ship sinking, because silicone floats.
Sean Morales, one of the hot pit crew guys on Drag Race, got kicked out of his gym for not wearing any deodorant and stinking up the place.
Plus, a secret surprise visit from a pair of gay reality TV show stars. Who is it? Listen and find out. The clue is portion control. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Today's show is made possible by the financial support of Feast of Fun listeners. Fabulous people just like you.
Get all the dish from Latrice Royale, Jiggly Caliente, Willem, and Sharon Needles. What does RuPaul really think about all her girls? Upgrade your Feast of Fun account to Plus to listen to all our premium podcasts with all the world's most famous drag queens and a whole lot more.
In-depth, one-of-a-kind interviews with Monique, George Takei, Kathy Griffin, and Margaret Cho you won't hear anywhere else but Feast of Fun. Go to feastoffun.com/plus.
You're missing out. Go to feastoffun.com/plus. Right now, babies.
My nails.
Okay. Michelle Visage. Behind every fabulous drag queen, there is a soul sister who keeps it real. She is in Chicago for real in front of me on today's Feast of Fun. She just got finished taping RuPaul's Drag Race for season 2013 All Stars. And she is here in front of us. Welcome to Feast of Fun.
I am so happy to be here with you boys. Thank you.
It's a pleasure. You look fantastic.
Oh, go on.
You are the heart and soul of that TV show in some ways.
Oh, stop.
For me, you are, because you have so much experience in popular culture, hanging out with gay men and drag queens. Uh-huh. You were gal pals with RuPaul in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. You knew where RuPaul was in those years. We don't know anything about RuPaul.
Right. Those were the fun years.
The dark years.
The dark years.
Where she was wandering the desert like Jesus.
Yes.
And now you're sitting with RuPaul's right-hand side.
Yes.
And bringing in a new era of drag queen fabulousness to the world.
And we are so very lucky to be able to do this. I think I said this to you guys last time.
Yeah.
You know, it's going on 2013 soon, and we are so lucky to be able to have a show like this. Mm. We've come so far, but yet there's so much further we need to go. Mm. You know, with acceptance and tolerance and equality. So this step is a huge leap for mankind. Thank you, Neil Armstrong.
I really have to say it has totally changed the landscape and people's opinion of drag. It used to be, before we'd do this podcast and we'd interview, you know, a drag queen, let's say it's Coco Prue or Hedda Lettuce or maybe a local queen, and people are like, why do you always have these queens on? Who cares about drag queens? I'm just like, what is it you don't get about these queens? They're our entertainers. They're so much a part of who we are as gay people.
They've been underground for so long. I mean, not to you and I, but to a popular mainstream culture as a whole. So it's new to them, and maybe they're not getting it, but they've been such an integrated part of our lives that it's natural for you to gravitate towards them the same way I gravitate towards them, because that's where
you're like shiny, pretty things.
Right, it's exactly what it is. Sparkle.
You can never have enough glitter on your eyelashes.
Agreed.
You're not wearing any right now, though.
Because I'm halfway done.
You're halfway done. We caught you like kind of halfway dressed.
You guys were downstairs. You're like, okay, we're ready. I'm like, okay, I have to finish this lash. I have to glue it to my eye and then I'll be down. But yeah, that's okay. Glitter will come.
You're a working mom, and yet you're touring, you're traveling. Mm-hmm. What are you doing in Chicago at these nightclubs? What are you going to be?
You know, I do whatever they want me to do. I am a woman for hire. Usually I'm judging a drag contest, or I'm just hanging out, taking pictures, meeting people. Yeah. I'll get on the mic and, you know, talk a little bit. Show them that I do have a personality and I'm not just up Rue's ass like people say that I am.
Do they assume that?
They do, and it's incorrect. Rue and I have had a friendship for many years. Mm-hmm. Late 80s versus early 90s. And it's a strong friendship, and it's in a soulmate type of way. And there is none of that. Like, mm-hmm. people think that Rue wants everybody to know, like, he's in charge and what I say doesn't matter. Somebody was asking me that. I did the Windy City interview, and there was word going around that every time I bring somebody back, Rue gets rid of them just to show me that Rue's in charge. I'm like, no, honey. There's none of that.
Who is in charge? You know, it's the production company's in
charge. RuPaul is the executive producer. RuPaul is in charge.
She really is.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. There is a production company that he consults.
Yeah.
But he's in charge. This is his show, his knowledge, his know-how.
So you're not saying that, like, the executives of Absolute are saying, there is no way I want Latrice Royale to win.
No.
It's like, and so it's RuPaul saying, responding to the performers.
Correct.
And nobody really knows how it's going to play out.
And so when she says, the final decision is mine,
I consult with the judges, but the final decision is mine. Yes, that's absolutely true. That's why you'll see my eyes roll sometimes.
You're like, oh boy.
When someone stays or someone goes.
So how often are you guys on the same page when it's time for a queen to go?
99.9% of the time.
Really?
Yep. Yeah, almost all the time.
Where did you disagree? Where in the last season, where were you guys butting heads? And you're saying, oh my God, I can't believe you got rid of this.
On season four?
Yeah. The Sharon Needles season.
Well, Sharon wasn't going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And Rue loved Sharon from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved Sharon too, but it took me a while to warm to Sharon because I had to see kind of what she was made of.
Mm-hmm. Well, she has an icy demeanor.
But not really.
As a spooky queen.
I don't get to see Rue... has the upper hand of getting to be in the workroom and getting to see these queens as boys. And all I get is the runway, so I don't get to feel them. I just see Sharon come out as Nosferatu on the first episode, and I'm like, oh, okay. So I don't get to know that vulnerability. And that, like, when I watched the show and I saw that little Party City episode, my heart went to Sharon because of Sharon's face. When Aaron was hurt... Mm-hmm. I said, that's what people love, that vulnerability right there that you just showed. See, I don't get to see that on the main stage. Mm-hmm. So for me, what I see on the main stage sometimes is not really true to who should be staying or going.
When did you get an idea that Sharon was going to take it?
I really didn't, even to the last. In my gut, I said, Sharon has to, because there'll be an uproar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she has touched so many people above and beyond any other season. But Chad was so good. I literally would have been happy with either one of them winning the crown. But really? I kind of knew that Sharon was.
I always felt that Latrice Royale would have won if Sharon Needles was not in it. And actually, somebody asked RuPaul that question.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Rue loved Latrice, too.
That was the horse to bet on was
I don't think so. Latrice didn't make top three.
Yeah. I don't know why she didn't.
Because it was a bad lip sync.
Let's just face it, though.
Comes down to it.
She capped Fifi O'Hara for the conflict. We love Fifi, but it was a conflict.
Let me not say that it was a bad lip sync. It just wasn't the winning lip sync, because Latrice could never lip sync anything badly. You know what I mean? It's just a matter of right song, right time, right queen.
Well, it's like when she was up against
Kenya Michaels. She was doing like Tinkerbells,
and it's just like to Aretha Franklin, wasn't it? And it's just like, come on, that's Latrice's song. You can't mess that up.
She brought tears to my eyes with that. Latrice is a fierce queen.
She just beat that song into the ground.
She did.
RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars.
Oh.
It's in the can. Who wins the show? Give it away right now. Come
on. I'm going to tell you, above and beyond anything I've ever done, fashion-wise, makeup-wise, hair-wise, literally, I win All-Stars.
What?
It's so...
You gave yourself the crown?
I have to. Yes, I gave myself the crown.
You're like, for being seen with you fools, I'm the winner.
I look like such a drag queen in All-Stars. Just prepare yourself.
You did your own makeup?
No, I don't do my own makeup. Only shows.
So you brought in like a makeup stylist
I always have a makeup artist. I always have a hairdresser. But, you know, I thought All Stars, I need to be really big and grand. But thinking back, I was really big and grand.
Crank the whore down,
like,
lady.
But season five, I'm a little softer with it.
So season five, they're calling it season five or 2013.
Season five, right?
Okay. Yeah. But it's going to be coming out next year.
I guess. In January. That's when they usually come out.
Okay. And who's the winner of that?
Me!
Is it the same kind of setup again?
I'm not telling you anything that could get me in trouble, but I can tell you that it's same format.
Can you tell us any of the queens that are on it?
No.
I think it's kind of like...
Yes, I can tell you one.
Who? You can?
Penetration, because she was voted in off of Facebook.
Okay.
Penetration. Well,
there's also rumors
Cincinnati.
Going around. Okay. Look at your eyes, whether they're on or not.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see.
Detoxicunt.
Who?
Detoxicunt.
Season.
Oh,
12.
Detox?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't. Who else?
Alaska Thunderfuck.
Oh, Sharon's boyfriend?
Yeah. Shaking her head. No.
She can't say.
Who told you these things?
The internet.
Who else?
The internet.
Let me hear.
Those are the three that are really going
RuPaul
around.
RuPaul called me.
You told me two.
Well, Penetration was the other one.
Well, Penny's
lettuce.
The Penny's.
Head of lettuce.
But I do love head of lettuce.
You said that drag queens should not wear green.
Let me clarify this. Hear my nails?
Oh, I love the nails. Do it some more.
Let me tell you why. There are greens and there are greens. I love an emerald, rich emerald green. Can go on any skin color. Black, Sharon Needles, white. It's a beautiful, deep jade.
Don't talk about her being white.
But then, please. But then, okay, Sharon Needle corpse. But then the color that I really have a problem with is that when you start getting it to chartreuse, kind of baby vomit mixed with baby poop,
sure.
When there's too much yellow undertone, it makes anybody who's not a brown skin beauty look like they have hepatitis C. They look yellow. They look ill. Mm-hmm. That's my issue with green.
It's the same color of a green screen that video producers use to remove.
That's kind of neon-y, and I would even not mind that in drips and drabs.
Okay. So green with a little bit of yellow in it.
No, the opposite.
Oh. Bluish.
A royal green. A Kelly green. Something.
A Kelly green.
Kelly
green's
a good green.
Yes, a truer green or a deeper green that goes towards the green blacks. Mm-hmm. Or even a neon, but stay away from the yellow undertones.
Okay, so that's all you can tell, because we have electrocution and torture devices.
Dude, you could try it all, honey. Doesn't work.
I have a steel silicone breasts.
I can tell you that it is amazing, unlike any other season. And I say to Rue,
that's what
all
they
the time,
say about everything.
But isn't it true?
Yeah,
every season is unlike the season before, and I feel like an idiot saying that, but it's true, because season three I started, it was the Heathers and the Boogers, the beauty. Season four came and you first saw them and you're like, ooh, because they didn't look as pretty as season three, but their personalities and their stories were so endearing and enriching and amazing. You fell in love with them. Yeah. And then you fell in love with their aesthetic, right?
I got to tell you, you're so right on about that, and how season four just kind of like upped the ante so much, because it was like, we were almost kind of even tired of it after season three. And we're just like, I'm not going to get into four. And then it was just like, I watched season one and we were just like,
oh my God,
I'm in love. Or at the first episode, I'm like, I'm in love with the show again.
You can't. All these shows, Top Model, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You always think, well, how are they going to make it different and not repetitive? But the queens do that. Really, it's the queens. It's not what we're giving them. It's not the challenges. That's part of it. But really, it's the queens. It's different batches of queens and their stories and where they're from. It's really compelling to me as a viewer to watch.
Isn't it hard, the fact that there are not that many drag queens in the country?
There are. We don't know about these small cities. And to me, that's really inspirational to have these people like a Stacey Lane Matthews that comes from Back Swamp, North Kakalaki, and these places that you've never heard of. And this is their chance. Where else are they ever going to get this opportunity? So if they have the wherewithal and the talent and the balls to keep applying if they don't get in, I mean, who was it that every season... Chad Michaels applied and didn't get into season four.
But I mean, if you reflect upon, let's say, like Project Runway, where there's a lot of people in the fashion industry, or American Idol, there's a lot of singers.
Yes.
And when you look at drag queen entertainers, comparatively, there's not that many.
Compared to singers, no. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there are a lot more than you...
Than you would realize.
They need to do like a little census on the next census, put it out there, are you a drag queen performer? Right.
There's a lot more than you think there are, kids.
But so, in the sense, like, how are you guys, I mean, you're traveling around the clubs, are drag queens coming up to you and be like, here's a 50, Michelle, put in a good
word
for me?
No, but they do come in and they say, look for me in season 5 or season 6 or season 7. I'll be ready season 10. You know, like, they have aspirations, but they know they're not ready, or the ones who are like, you know, I didn't get in. There's all different angles, and they do come to me, and I see the beauty in each and every one of them. It's just a level. I'm not even on the casting. That's Rue in the network, in the production company, and Rue will look at them and say, I know how fierce this queen is, but she's not ready. Mm-hmm. And Rue knows. And that's what it was with this one and that one, and you know.
So let's talk about not being ready. What kind of attributes or characteristics does someone have when they're not ready to be on the show?
Okay, it's a lot of psychological psychological drama.
Because they have to actually take like a psychological test.
That's just part of it. And we hope they all flunk. That's why we put them on. We like the crazy. The thing is, it's not just being able to sew or hot glue gun something. It's being able to live with these girls, 12 girls, 13 girls, depending on the season. You put them together and how they're going to get along, how they're not going to get along, if they have backstories with any of them, how they're going to withstand that pressure. They're up on that main stage for judging for 13 hours in those heels. Can they physically handle it? Is there more than one aspect to their drag? That's why when I say things like, well, what else, you know, can you give me something else besides spooky? That's why I kept pushing Sharon. We want to push you out of the comfort zone, push you out of your comfort, because I can do this, but what I can't do is that. So that's what we want to see is that. And that's when the real kind of breakdown starts. They're like, I can't do it. And that's when you have
that's good
to
television.
And Rue knows when they're ready for it.
And then they grow as artists.
Absolutely, they grow. Yeah. They don't want to grow, and they'll throw a fit, and they won't listen to critiques, and they'll go, she don't know what she's talking about. And then they come out and they do it, and it's like, oh my God, I'm not the one. You're not pleasing me. You're pleasing the millions of people that are watching you, and they see that friggin' transformation that we told you to try. You tried it, and look at you. Look at you.
Well, every drag queen should have Michelle Visage in her back pocket.
Maybe that could be like a sideline thing. You could do a little, like Susan Powder. You remember Susan Powder, the guru?
Stop the insanity.
She does Skype coaching. Maybe you could do some Skype coaching for
Skype
queens.
Drag coaching?
Yeah.
Drag consulting
and just do it over Skype. You're like, girl, I'll fix your look.
I absolutely, you might be onto something.
$200 an hour.
Right. That's a bit too much for a drag queen. They may make that in a night in a small city.
Give me all your tips.
That's like two tricks.
You know, we scared Pandora box?
Oh, we scare all the drag queens.
Why? You don't scare this drag queen, honey.
We've been hanging out with Chef Jamie Laurita from
Real Housewives.
Real Housewives. Mm-hmm. And we said, you know, those Real Housewives, they have to give a portion of their money at every nightclub appearance back to the production company.
It's not just that.
Is that true?
10% of their income for like the next 5 years. So if they do products, all that kind of stuff, yes.
Is that true?
That's true. And so
Personal appearances?
Personal appearances.
No.
And so we went to Pandora box and said, you better hope that RuPaul doesn't get any ideas in her head, because she's going to go up to you after you're done on the stage and say, I saw a 20 in that tip jar.
Rue makes enough money doing his live shows. He doesn't need that. But I find that really interesting.
Yeah,
I think it was, I first heard about it with the Real Housewives of New York. So, yeah, that's part of the contract that they signed.
Shut up.
I think that Jamie told me that they may have gone back and renegotiated some of that.
Would have, because that's the extras.
Well, the thing is, though, is like, you know, why do you have the show? And then now you're making all this money.
You have the show for branding.
But Bravo wants their cut. They're like, we made you a star. We want part of that money. It's like the Hollywood
system. Can't blame
them.
Okay.
You know?
All Stars is all the fading celebrity drag queens.
Oh, stop.
Seasons, all trying to hold on to their, to their 15 minutes a little bit longer.
Wrong.
And I would imagine that the tension is much higher there.
Wrong.
Am I wrong on that?
You're wrong on the description.
Manila said.
That's what Manila said.
Then Manila can say that about herself.
The girls on RuPaul's Drag Race, so they have a short shelf life sometimes.
They're aging Hollywood starlets only in
accelerated
mode. Drag queens in general, we have a short shelf life.
Okay.
I mean, let's be honest. This is our time on the show.
Yeah, that's
right?
True.
So with that said, I wouldn't say that they're waning or fading. I would say that this is another shot to keep it out there.
Augment it there. Well, okay, so I would imagine
that... And it's not pathetic or sad in any way.
I'm not saying that. No, I'm...
Because you made it sound like friggin' Gloria Swanson.
But what I'm saying
is ready for my close-up.
If the shoe fits, sometimes you have to wear it. You know?
Okay, sometimes.
The stiletto fits.
That's the exception, not the rule.
Okay, so the tensions must run high, though.
Insanely. And you're talking about a caliber that's up here. You know, we're not scraping the bottom of the barrel here. This is all the way up top. Every single one of these all-stars. Yes, you, even Mimi, I'm first. Top of the barrel, and this is what we're dealing with, right? I love all of them that are on there. They're all top-notch. They've all got something to prove.
And who gets kicked off first?
I'm not telling.
No, but I can imagine that.
Nice try.
Damn, she doesn't drink.
Already. Have some more punch.
It's tea.
What can we expect, though, from the All-Stars?
I mean, give me something, you know?
I haven't given you enough?
No, wet my whistle. I mean, give me some details of the
give
show.
Give the listeners, you know.
Well, I mean, exclusive. There's really not much I can legally tell you, except it's done differently. All Stars is going to be done differently.
It's a different show. Are there still going to be celebrity judges?
It is a different show. Yes.
Or are you going to have like drag queen, like peers, like Lady Bunny judging or something like that?
It is still celebrity judging, but it's done differently. The format is same, but different and really exciting. And I think you guys are really, and everybody listening is going to get a kick out of it because you're seeing your favorites and you're seeing them do things that they didn't have to do before or maybe couldn't do, or maybe they're getting thrown things that we know already are their weaknesses. So,
were you a little surprised that Mimi I'm first got on it? Because it seems to be the general reaction from a lot of people. Like, how did she get on? There were so many
I
other people.
I think Mimi's
there.
Really good. I just think Mimi's crazy. and crazy in the sense that she sometimes has to hone it in and can't kind of pull it in. And if she can kind of put that lightning in a jar, it's magical. Because she's really talented and really funny and really frenetic. And that's the thing with her energy. It's kind of like, blah! But she gets it, and she knows what she wants, and I don't.
You know
what
I tell Mimi, and I tell my feedback to 80% of the drag queens who, you know, because they turn to me and they're always asking as a drag queen expert.
Yes.
And I said to them,
and they say Fausto.
They do. They ask me what should I do, and I said, you know, as a drag queen myself, I was in performance and toured and everything for years and years and years in my early 20s.
Oh, you did drag?
Oh yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
I'll show you some pictures after the show.
I'd love it.
And
can I critique them?
Yeah, okay. I would love to. Well,
I'm going to pull up the YouTube video right now.
Okay.
But so one of the things that I would say is that they tend to embellish their performance too much. And one of the thing is like, it's what you do on the stage that matters the most. Not the fact that you have 20 different props and that you're juggling plates and eating fire and have this elaborate dress.
Yes.
And when Mimi first comes on, like a lot of drag queens actually, she's bringing like 7 suitcases of props and dresses.
She's like Carrot Top.
Yeah. And it says that we don't need so much. We're
correct.
There to see you.
Yes. But I get it with camp queens. They you got to have a gimmick. You know, Mama Rose said I understand her want to perform. She's a theater person. Mm-hmm. So I understand that. She wants to always constantly perform and show everybody and act and be. And but I do think she's got a lot to prove. And that's why she was
of my television show, which I don't know if this makes any sense to play this during the podcast. It was in 1992, El Show de Faustina.
Cable access.
This is my cable access show.
Shut up. I love it already.
So it was me and as a blonde. Oh, by the way, this aired before RuPaul's VH1 show.
It did not.
Yeah, it did.
Are you Puerto Rican?
Yeah.
That is incredible.
That's why I was really thin and beautiful.
What do you think of that look? So long blonde hair, dressed kind of like a librarian.
That makeup is really bad, Fausto.
I know. We didn't know. We didn't have the internet. I had the only role models I had was RuPaul.
But you look sexy. I mean, it's cute.
It was Divine and RuPaul in 1990.
They're very different, Divine and RuPaul.
I know.
I mean,
we had to go by. We had no internet.
Well, you're more Divine than Ru, but you do have a touch of Ru with the hair. But I would soften that wig line a little bit.
You know, the other thing is like when RuPaul first came on the scene, nobody knew about those,
lace fronts?
Lace front wigs.
Yes,
and so everybody
expensive.
Was like, is RuPaul like surgically attaching the wig into her head?
Well,
or something?
They've been around for a long time, but not queens. And it's much more expensive than just.
I think they've come down in price a lot.
A lot. Yeah. Are you kidding? I think you can get a lace front for like $50 now. I mean, back in the day, they were $800. You know?
Oh my God! Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They were real hair only.
They're handmade.
They are handmade. So anyway, long story short, Ru's always done lace fronts. I didn't know anything about lace fronts until Ru schooled me. I've never used one, but. Yeah, they make all the difference in the world for a hairline. And if you can't afford it, or you're going to do your... Just don't take it out of the bag, shake it, and slap it on your head. You got to give it some styling. You got to put a headband on, something to camouflage. Give me some kind of camouflage in the hairline. You know, or else...
Because that's the big tell.
That's my problem with Jennifer Hudson and her wigs.
Poor Jay
I'm always Jay Hud.
Blogging on the WoW Report because it drives me crazy with all the people around her, with all the money she's got and all the opportunity. She still has these wigs from like 14th Street.
Mm-hmm. That was going to be my new drag name, Lacey Frontwig.
Lacey Front.
But it is interesting. Like a lot of these soul divas have the cheapest wigs possible.
Jennifer Hudson's the worst culprit. Gloria Gaynor used to be a really bad culprit too of that. But I mean, that goes with age.
Whitney Houston. I mean, even Tina Turner. You know, we all love Tina Turner.
Yeah, but Tinta used to wear the long...
She had the bangs.
Yes. She had that crazy wig, but
yeah,
like,
but it didn't matter because the bangs covered the line.
Did you see her Thanksgiving special, her concert that was like sponsored by Target and was this frenetic mess?
Oh, I remember that. That was kind of recently.
Yeah, recent. And she had that horrible wig. It would just look like she had taken the wig and flushed it down the
toilet.
It's
a Halloween wig.
Yeah, it was not good look for
her. But she still looks great. She's like 78 years old and still up there in a miniskirt.
And maybe these like celebrities are like queens, like you saw Lady Gaga's most recent YouTube video where she's like showing off her glow in the dark wig,
yes. her what is that term called?
Fiber optic cable
or fiber optic wig.
Mm-hmm. Her glass fiber wig, yeah. And stuff, and she now has this pretentious British accent,
yes.
And
she thinks she's Madonna.
But
now.
Here's I just had this discussion on the World of Wonder podcast. Here's the problem, Madonna. This is the problem I have because I love Gaga. And I love Madonna. She's my everything.
You think you are Madonna a little bit?
not really. Just a little.
I can see like if Madonna's life took a different path, she would be you.
You mean a bad path where she didn't succeed?
No, just an alternate universe. You're like Madonna in an alternate universe.
I'm Madonna
light.
Who's
happier in a certain sense.
Well, she moved to England, at least became, you know, immersed in the culture and the people. So I didn't want to hear a girl from Bay City, Michigan talking with a British accent. But at the same time, I give her a little bit more slack than I would a girl from Long Island.
Yeah.
She went to school in New York City.
Mm-hmm. She's from Long Island, Staten Island.
She's a privileged girl, but why is she speaking with a British accent now?
Well, because she's probably hanging. You know, we actually did a whole show on accents, is that people talk the way they do because of the people that they're hanging out with and surrounded with.
Yeah, but she's still like her best friend, Lady Stardust or whatever.
Sure.
I don't know her. I think they're all American, but she's constantly in Europe to her defense. But like, I'm obsessed with everything British. I always have been since I was a little kid. It must have been a former life thing. But like, I watch all the shows on the BBC. I just watched a full-on six-season marathon of TOWIE, The Only Way is Essex. And I can find myself going, saying some things in their inflection, but I'm from New Jersey. If I go in and ask for a bottle of water, people are going to be like, what, bitch?
How come you don't have a Jersey accent?
Because I spent 2 years in speech class getting rid of it. A mother from Brooklyn, and I was raised in New Jersey. I was, can I curse?
Yeah.
I was fucked. I was really, really fucked. If you saw my prom video, you wouldn't even, if you heard it, you wouldn't even know it was me.
Really?
And it helped my career in broadcasting.
But these divas, though, they tend to, you know, get the cheapest, ugliest wigs that they can.
Well, that fiber optic one is not cheap for sure.
And so Lady Gaga does that. But if you look at some other wigs that she's worn, they were bought at Walgreens the day after Halloween.
Agreed. Even the beginning one with the big hair bow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was a horribly cheap wig. But she's the type of person who's constantly giving back to her own brand, which mm-hmm. I respect. She made no money. I think the first year she was becoming huge. Everything she bought was put back into fashion to kind of make who she is.
On the show RuPaul's Drag Race, how close do you get to the pit crew?
Close enough to smell Sean. I know where you're going.
How bad does he smell? Because Sean Morales, he's the one of the cute guys from the pit crew.
The pit crew.
He tweeted that he got his membership
revoked
from
did.
Gold's Gym because they said he smelled.
Well, no, 10 people complained about his body odor. So they said, if you don't do something about it. And Sean said, it's my right not to wear deodorant. Mm-hmm. Now understand that he's like he's a bear, like more of a leather bear kind of.
Sure.
He works, and that's his thing. Like there's a sect of bears that like their stinky kind of, they think that musky guy. Mm-hmm. And I love kind of a smell. It's when you're getting busy and you kind of have a little bit of it's sexy, right? His within a 50-foot radius, you'd smell him. It is offensive. So the gym goers, I'm just being honest. I love Sean, and it is his prerogative, but it's not my thing. Mm-hmm. I don't like it that strong.
Right.
It's on like, the show, does he make you gag a little?
No, he's the air conditioner. You could hang a side of beef. It's
okay,
so cold.
It's so cold. Okay.
So he's far enough away. But I hear the queens commenting on it all the time.
And what are they saying?
Most of them are like,
smells.
Bleh. And some of them are like, yeah. You know? It tells a lot about the queen.
It's a little bit, you know.
Of course,
a
Willem
bit
loved
like
it.
Willem's a dirty hole.
Exactly.
Well, that's the thing is like, you know, I'm not saying that this guy is in any, you know, doing any questionable actions at the gym, but Gold's Gyms in downtown cities and most urban environments are notorious for having a lot of hookups.
Are they cruising?
They're very cruising.
Gold's?
Gold's, yes.
Well, all so the Gold's, gyms.
Well, Bally's used to be.
But especially Gold's, like in downtown Austin, Texas, yeah. San Francisco,
honey,
Los
San
Angeles,
Francisco.
New York. They're very notorious for being very cruisy, and maybe it's because either he was being too cruisy or he was rejecting
listen to
people's
me,
advances.
He stinks so terribly. That's all there is. Really. There's nothing to dig into. It is the bottom line. Offensive.
Well, he does say he showers.
No, he showers. He just doesn't use... I
know
think,
what you're talking about, though.
I think he's the type of guy who'll go to the gym a day or two and not shower. Work out both days. Mm-hmm. Get really ripe. Smelling like Campbell's soup.
See what
you're trembling
running.
A little bit talking about it because of suppressed trauma.
There's a PST.
She's like, it's tongue.
It's really bad, but okay. And I understand why a gym would do that because the majority of people are not bears that like stinky men.
Okay.
So if they want to work out, have you ever been to a gym where the smell is so bad?
We actually have a workout buddy, and he's actually told something, walked up to people, and I'm like, you need to put on deodorant. If
shut
you're smell
up.
Yeah. He's big and muscly, so people say they listen to him.
Like, shut up.
So is Sean invited on the cruise?
I don't know, but if he does, I'll just spray him.
Bring a can of deodorant.
I'll just spray him. I love him so much, though. He is a great, sweet guy and adorable.
Okay, so you managed to get almost every single contestant from all four seasons onto one single cruise ship.
Yes.
For a glorious week in the high seas.
I didn't manage it. Alan Chuck Travel did.
But you're the grand dame.
I am
the
MC. I am the hostess. I'm really not. I'm just the only non-drag queen.
But it's your face on the poster. you're the wench of the high seas.
No, each one has a wench. Everybody has been photoshopped into wenchdom.
But you're the poster that I see, though.
Is that right?
Yeah, I don't see anybody else's. I see yours mostly.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Well,
so they're selling it based on your celebrity.
Look, I am so excited about this cruise, and people can book under their favorite queen, and my code is 143-7794 if you want to book in my party.
Wait, say that slower.
And they get a little party with
143-7794. Yes, what that means is you get to have a private cocktail party with me. You get to hang out with me. Are you going to be able to meet me if you join under Sharon Needles? Yes. I won't be nice to you, but yes. No, just kidding. Of course. It just means you don't get to do the private little things you know, get
and you're
to hear
probably
me
the
sing.
Best person to book with because you'll probably take them to meet other people. You'll
and I don't drink or do drugs, and I can grab any queen you want. And I'll be singing at the piano bar.
You're the Drag Race insider.
So they think.
Because people ask us, like, who is our mole? Who's leaking all these secrets? Because they, you know, World of Wonder and the production company thinks they're making the new iPad or something.
Well,
and they're very, very secretive.
And they should be. And it's not having. Yeah. I'm going to defend them for a minute because it really isn't all that. But it's really devastating when you work really hard season 3 and somebody on the internet with a pink background decided to leak the winner. And it's just not fair because these queens work so friggin' hard. Who needs a spoiler alert for RuPaul's Drag Race? Leave it well enough alone. Respect your community that you're part of and don't do that. Really, these queens worked really hard. Wasn't it obvious Raja was going to win? Probably.
Mm-hmm. But you can understand.
But I love Manila.
For a lot of these drag queens, they don't get a lot of respect and admiration from their shows,
right?
And so it becomes really tricky when they've been on this program that's going to change their lives, and then they're expected to keep it a secret for, you know, 9 months.
Yeah, but but for somebody to leak it is not cool. It's not cute, and it shouldn't have been done.
You know. Who the hell's I'm sorry. Somebody's like visiting us during the thing. So, hi, Michelle.
Hi, what are you doing?
So, we just happen to have surprise guest here. Oh my God. So, Chef Jamie Laurita and his partner.
Hi. How you doing?
Have a seat, honey.
I only did half my face.
Look at those earrings.
We're actually in the middle of taping a show. Have a seat.
Did you guys set that up?
We did.
You're so sweet and tricky. How are
so this
you?
Is the first time the two of them have ever met.
That's right.
But we fell in love.
In New Jersey many years ago.
Yes. So did we meet years ago?
This is Chef Jamie Laurita, who married his partner. over there
on TV,
on television, on the Real Housewives of New Jersey.
And it was so beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
At your estate. How come he's not loud enough?
Get in there. Yeah, you're on. We can hear you.
Can we hear me?
Okay, now I can.
Okay, good.
He's just so nervous. You're nervous in meeting a diva for the first time.
I know. I feel like I'm meeting. I travel with all these famous people, right?
Exactly. Like, really? Hello, you work with Madonna.
I know, but I'm looking at you and I'm like, you're more exciting.
Oh, go on.
Oh, that Madonna is your boss.
Well, she was at one point.
Yeah.
And now Jamie's
you're
now
throwing
Jamie's
her
boss.
To the side of the road for Michelle Visage.
Thank you, smart boy. Yay.
Madonna who?
But Jamie's worked with a lot of people because he's amazing. And so is his husband, Rich. And that wedding was so, so gorgeous.
Oh, thanks.
I
just wish it could have been more about that and less about that.
Right.
What's the other thing that you're saying?
The drama that was going on. It wasn't being treated with the respect it deserved.
Well, I was grateful that I got what I got. You know, to tell you
true,
the truth.
True.
I mean, really, when you think about the show, you know they're not going to focus 100% on our wedding. They did a great job.
They did. You know? And they did give it love. And it's not saying anything against Bravo. I mean, they're just doing what they're supposed to be doing, catching the drama.
Yeah, well, they're doing a good job.
But it was just such a meaningful time.
Yeah, we definitely wanted to... You know, obviously, my family's super famous on the show, right? So I'm on there doing my cameos every now and then.
Uncle Jamie.
Yeah, Uncle Jamie. I'm thinking, you know, how can I do something in my mind? I mean, just you know, relevant that the world's going to see, that's going to look at and go, "Wow, this is an amazing story." Mm-hmm.
And totally change minds.
True. You know? And the love between you two is so beautiful and pure and apparent. You know, so somebody can't look at it and say whatever negative comment. Mm-hmm. They could, but, you know, the hope is that they see that love is true.
Yeah, well, thanks. And the honest truth is that, people are always going to have their opinions. Mm-hmm. You know, what do they say about... What do they say about assholes?
Haters gonna hate, baby.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. You gotta celebrate and stop the hate.
Yeah, so the thing is that I know a lot of straight couples that are married that I can judge.
Sure.
You know, and think that they shouldn't be married. So, you know, I'm not going out there and doing that.
Don't bring Michelle's relationship into this.
Can we talk about how hot her husband is, though?
He is hot.
I picked him up in Central
Park.
You picked up your husband. You were cruising him in Central Park.
I did, and it wasn't intentional.
He's gorgeous.
He is gorgeous.
And your children are gorgeous.
They are.
You are just like a good-looking family.
We try. They're better looking than I am. I got really used up after
Beauty
two kids.
Beauty and the Beast, but...
Pushing them out. They sucked out my beauty.
You're keeping it together, girl. You're keeping it together.
Oh, you're so sweet. I'm trying. But he is great, and he's a Chicago boy, so I feel like I'm at home.
Where is he?
He's at home.
Having fun.
He's got the kids. I mean, she had the little one had soccer, and you know, the big one's got stuff to do.
So you're like a true blue mom.
I am.
You know what I'm saying?
That's my life. You know, and anything I do, they come to mind first. How it's going to affect them? You have to.
Oh, yeah.
Kids get so fucked up these days by parents not paying attention, not seeing what they're posting on Instagram, not seeing what they're doing on Facebook, and because of that. There comes, you know, ramifications.
So are you like, you know, everything you're saying is so like dead on, but are you like cool mom?
I'm cool mom to a certain extent. I always tell them I am your friend, but I'm your mom first. Right. Remember that. And it's not an original quote, but it's a true one. Mm-hmm. If you're a mom first and a friend second, everything goes the right way. Sometimes they hate me. Sometimes they love me. I don't give a shit. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is they're going to listen to me and they're going to do what's expected of them. Then we can hang out and I'll get them what they want. You know what I mean?
So you're all up there with your blue nails and your big earrings. And you're like, look at you saying all this shit. And they're like, really, mom?
Right. You know? Right.
Your kids
my 12-year-old kind of.
Your kids have to think you're the coolest mom ever. I mean, you're on RuPaul's Drag Race.
My 12-year-old could give two shits.
Really?
10-year-old is a drag queen. Loves it. Fashion. Loves queens. Votes. Has her favorite.
Does she have long blue fingernails like you do?
No, she doesn't. They're just blue today. Mm-hmm. But they'll get into it. And if somebody calls me, if Manila calls or... And if anybody calls, they'll be like, oh my God. Like, they think it's the best thing
ever. Do you put the drag queens on the phone with your kid?
I have. Yeah, I have.
Which drag queen is best with children?
Not Rue.
RuPaul doesn't like...
No, he likes children, but he has a limitation. When they're older, they're better with Uncle Rue. You know, it's...
So it's like not like Jiggly Caliente's got your kids.
I don't know if I'd let that happen.
Which one would you let babysit?
There'd be too much sugar involved.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Jiggly's like, I don't know, just have some sugar.
Right, deuces.
Take a lollipop.
I keep it 100. Sharon scares my 12-year-old, so that wouldn't happen. They love Manila, especially Lola. And Lily wears her, my 12-year-old wears her I Heart Manila t-shirt to school.
Wait, let's ask the question back. Like, what if you needed, like, you know, there's somebody has to live in your house. Who would you let move in with you guys?
Oh, that's a great question. Which drag queen would we trust?
And don't just say they're your friend.
I'm not going to say Sharon Needles.
Right.
You're not going to touch her.
Listen, Sharon Needles' house almost burnt down. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
I don't even know, girl.
I don't even know who I would choose. You guys have been to our house. Imagine having all that drag in one room or two rooms.
You have a lot of space.
Yeah,
though.
You should
so
do
you
a drag
fit
party
somebody
at your
in
house.
There, like Latrice or.
I would feel comfortable. I think Jade Sotomayor actually is very reliable.
Jade is lovely.
I want Latrice Royale.
That's because she's
come
Puerto Rican, so you're picking favorites.
Well, and she's
also all that.
She's also local.
If she can't pay the rent, you know that she's going to work the street corner until she can.
Jade.
She's going to come up with the rent.
And she has a big dick.
It may be the night
I've seen
of.
It.
Huge,
oh,
right?
Yeah, it's legendary.
She's packing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who drag queen do we trust the most with our lives, with our children?
Chad Michaels. Chad Michaels.
The same thing.
Chad Michaels would
be great. Chad would clean.
You know, Latrice Royale, actually.
That's who I need.
Right.
I think
we
need to get a little Chad.
Chad would clean.
San Diego.
He'd clean.
I think
Chad. You don't need anal retention.
I don't want anybody making a fucking mess.
And his boyfriend, Adam, makes all Chad's outfits.
Oh, yeah.
So you're all set up.
Drapes.
Well, at least I'd be set up.
Can he do drapes? Can he do slip covers?
I'm sure.
Can you make a table cloth?
Yeah, I'd be like, hi, good morning. We're going to do a project today. Like, this guy again.
I'll cook, you sew.
Hell yeah, that's a good deal.
Yeah.
Well, you know?
When I say I mean you.
Whatever.
Okay, I'm being
good.
You.
Good.
What's for dinner, Chef Jamie Loretta? Did you bring anything for us?
I did. Oh, actually, I did.
Oh, my God. I was just joking.
Well, no. You know we always bring presents.
He actually brought me heirloom tomatoes.
Heirloom tomatoes. These are all of, these are all of
from your garden?
Yeah.
Wow.
You got to go to his house. It's just
a huge garden, right?
Mr. T was your neighbor for a while.
No way.
Which was awesome. And you brought, like, a flower-shaped dildo, and
look
you're waving
how
in front of
pretty. What kind of flower is it?
Gladiola.
It's hydrangeas.
Did you say hydrangeas? I was going to do a Madonna line for hydrangeas.
Right, right.
I absolutely love
that gladiola has never been so happy. All of a sudden, it just sprang to life.
It's stiff.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, Michelle, before we wrap the show up, what'd you think about Madonna showing up 2.5 hours late?
Are you talking about Paris?
No, in Philadelphia.
She did?
Yeah, the city of liberty.
Brotherly love.
And then
brotherly
told the audience, don't be fat and lazy.
Okay, what?
She said to the audience, don't be fat and lazy and take your rights for granted.
She's right.
The right to show up 2.5 hours late to her concert.
But that's wrong.
Yeah.
2.5 hours late?
She doesn't ever do that. You know that she's very timely and very prompt.
Well, there's been a couple of times.
She also did say, though, she was working on something to make the show perfect because you deserve it. And frankly, I deserve it.
Right.
So then what? There you go. But 2.5 hours.
I got to tell you, though, seriously, on that note, that woman works her ass off.
Right.
I've never seen an artist come out, do a whole show, rehearse her brains out. One thing she cares about is the show. The 2.5 hours, I don't know what that was about. Never
but
that
that's
long.
True. That's true.
Maybe Lola was like being fussy.
Right.
Let's call her Lourdes because my daughter's name is Lola. Like her real name is Lola.
Oh.
Yeah.
Who was born first?
Well, my daughter's name is Lola Veronica. Madonna's middle name is Veronica. And her daughter's name is Lourdes.
Obsessed a little bit.
Super freak.
Lola's the nickname.
You know,
for
Lola
Lourdes.
Was born first.
Yes.
Lourdes Madonna's daughter
is Lourdes.
Was born first.
Nothing was more trippy.
Yes, but Lola is the official nickname for Lola.
But that doesn't count. My daughter's name is Lola.
Nothing was more freaky.
Lola Veronica.
Yes, drag queen? Yeah.
We all love her, though. I mean, come on. We all love Madonna, right?
How could... She's right? my Come everything.
On. It was so freaky to me to like be in front of her door and like be responsible for all her shit and her whole room and all that. And then all of a sudden seeing her walk in and out and not be like screaming because I was
I know,
a super
right,
fan.
Right. But inside you
I
were.
Kept it real. And I kept it so real the whole time.
I wore Rich.
She eyeballed me up and down.
She totally cruised Rich up and down.
I was like,
you're a good looking guy, Rich. If Madonna looks at you, do you just like start grabbing your nuts or something? Like
just
you
start know? Voguing.
You know what I'm saying? Express yourself.
Keep calm in Vogue.
Instant voguing.
Oh my God.
It's like, hey, it was good for you to show your nipples to the audience. Why can't I do it?
Not necessary.
Yeah. I brought a gift for Michelle. Okay. I mean, Michelle's going to give it to you guys.
What?
Is it alcohol? Yeah. Oh, let's talk about that.
Can I tell people about that?
Yes, I think you should.
You know that Michelle has never... Nor has ever.
Oh, I was talking about
ever.
This.
She's never drank in alcohol in her entire life.
Drinking's not a word. Never I'm not going to let you say that.
She doesn't drink at all.
Drank. Never. I never drank. No.
Can I say this? Looks like you brought a
is
joint.
Is this your
too.
Wine?
No.
This
no
is. Let's talk about Chef
drugs
Jamie's.
In here.
No, those. That's the.
There's like a $500 bill or something.
No. That's a. That was her vase for her flower silly. Yeah.
Can we talk about your Bello Boy?
To be in there.
It's
for water.
This is
did
how
you
Martha
put
Martha Stewart gave
okay.
you?
Okay. Is it a napkin with
we made a vase. We made a vase for her flower.
It's a doobie.
Let's talk about this real quick.
Bello Boy.
Yes, this is Jamie's.
It is
line.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Your wine line.
I have you got some pink champagne.
That is
it's Moscato.
Moscato. That's,
oh my God!
I'm doing a full blown line of Italian products, wines, spirits. I have Prosecco, Moscatos, and all kinds of Italian goodies, pasta, you know.
And this one is flavored with rose petals.
Rose petals.
And everybody in the infused. Audience listening infused. Gets a free right. bottle, right? Yeah.
What?
Thank you, Oprah.
Everybody
look underneath
the
your,
microphone.
Look underneath your seat. You,
exactly.
There's nothing there.
Who are you, friggin'
but
Oprah?
But I don't drink, and we're going to give this to you.
Oh, thank you.
You've just been re-gifted.
Yeah, but isn't it gorgeous?
You don't want to take it back to California? Does your husband
But drink? How do I get it back.
Just bring just on the airplane. Tell them it's
I can't.
A bomb. They'll let you on.
Great.
You carry. You carry.
I think
on.
It's over 3 ounces. Should we bring it tonight?
Let's do that. Let's drink it.
Yeah. Should we drink it in the VIP? Yeah,
totally.
What? Pop a bubbly up in the VIP.
But you're not going to drink it.
No, but I'll watch.
Okay, that's fine. She's a voyeur,
and
she's
I can still toast.
She's a cocktail voyeur.
Yes, I'm a. Cocktail voyeur. Yes.
She'll want to pour it on her body.
But when can everybody get this?
We're working on distribution right now. Just arrived in from Italy. I'm very excited.
It's called Bello Boy.
Bello Boy.
Beautiful boy.
For the beautiful boy in you.
Yeah. Ooh. I'd like a beautiful boy in me.
Michelle Visage, the time has come.
For
to
me
end
too.
The show.
Oh, darn.
You charmed us with your soul sister wisdom and your 80s pop culture sensibility.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we have to sashay away.
Yes, you do. But that's
until
okay.
Until next time.
Yes, but you're coming tonight.
We are.
To Spin Chicago.
You're going to be going to see your fabulous show where you're going to... We brought the karaoke tape for It Takes Two from Seduction.
You did?
Yeah, so you're going to perform
sung?
It?
Have you sung that?
You had the karaoke
it
thing?
It takes two to
do
make
you really?
A whole field time. Is that how it goes, right?
It does take two to make my field time. It's been a while. Yeah.
Oh, we'll just play it and you just lip sync to it.
What, know? Tonight?
Yeah, let's
well,
do
I
it.
Was going to, I brought, I left it home.
What
but I'll do it. I'll sing over the track.
Yeah, okay, let's do it.
I left the CD home. I was going to sing Two to Make It Right
Can
tonight.
Can
we
be
left
one of
home.
The other members of Seduction?
Why, yes! Yes! Will you do it with me?
Are you kidding? Of course!
Yes! And you will dance. I know you will.
Yeah, he will. He will.
Okay,
I
yes.
will too.
Yes, we'll
I'll
do it.
I'll play the tambourine.
You're like one girl and four fabulous gays right now.
Yeah.
We have our own TV video show happening.
That's what this tambourine.
I'm sorry. I'm a little old right now. I can't move.
You
have
that blonde
quickly.
Wig on in that video, right?
It was not a wig. It was my hair.
That was your real hair?
It was my hair. Yeah.
They wow. dyed your hair?
I dyed it.
You dyed the shit out of your hair.
I bleached the shit.
She was a Madonna wannabe.
Oh,
yes.
You're talking about, just for the listeners, it was in the early 90s for the song
1990.
It Takes Two,
yeah,
for
two to make
the
it
band
right.
Seduction, and you had bleached out your hair.
Two quick stories.
White.
People always go, is that the song that goes, it takes two to make a thing go right? I'm like, no, I am not Rob Bass, last time I checked, and I'm not black. Or a rapper. Well, I used to be a rapper. I'm a little white
girl.
But that
song is based off of yours.
No, it was based off of Lynn Collins, I think her name was, who had the song a long time ago. That's where the sample comes from, like in the 60s or 70s. So we're the ones that did It Takes Two, It Takes Two. Different song. So don't confuse it. But
me
it's really funny.
And you.
That takes, one. Yeah. And we did Heartbeat and You're My One and Only. And our slow song, Could This Be Love's. Anyway, that's one story.
I learned about it in music history class.
Shut up. The other story is we had
right
a World of Wonder has a mixer once a month we do for our WoW report, the thing that I blog on. And it was two nights ago and I was there and this short guy, older, white out hair, like stodgy, walks over with a big cigar, which is bleh, first of all. And I'm standing by myself. The minute Willem walks away, I was like, I was talking all night to people. Willem walks away to get something. I'm alone. And I'm like, shit, completely victim, right? He walks over in my ear. He's like, hey, how you doing? And it's a mixer. You're supposed to meet people. And yeah, I'm like, good. How are you? Were you on Rue's show? And I go,
yeah.
Excuse me. Rue show, you were a contestant, right? And I went, do I look like a drag queen? And he goes, no, a tranny, right? Swear to God. And I went, no, I'm a judge, but thank you. He's like, well, you know, you never know these days. And I'm like, yeah, thank you, Carmen Carrera. Thank
and you whipped you. It out and took a piss.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
So that I just was my saw that on your Facebook
story.
Wall, so I knew where
did
it
you
was
see
going.
It? It was true story.
Oh, yeah. What's the other story?
I love
true
it.
Story. The other one was Madonna. I mean, the other one, Seduction. What did I talk about before that?
Madonna said, stop imitating me.
Oh, that was a sad moment in my life.
But you like...
Did you save the letter?
Okay, just to be clear.
Record label got it.
For your performance tonight, don't show your tits to the audience, because then Madonna will be pissed off.
I will not show my tits.
No swastikas.
No swastikas on your face.
No Pussy Riot on my back.
Don't be 2.5 hours late, because I'll leave. No. I'm just saying.
I'll be asleep if I'm 2.5 hours late. No.
If you're 2.5 hours late, someone should go find you. You're sleeping.
I'm in my bed.
I'll be like, she's sleeping.
Right, exactly. No.
Michelle Visage, Jamie Laurita, Rich Lane, it's a pleasure having you guys on the show. It's an unexpected surprise.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we like to do that.
We want to remind the listeners that Feast of Fun is made possible because of your subscription. If you haven't upgraded your Feast of Fun account to Plus, you're missing out on all the fun. 5 days a week, you get a fresh original podcast. Hot on your plate. Feastoffun.com.
You can also support the show by getting a t-shirt. Go to feastoffun.com/store and get yours today.
There you go.
I love those t-shirts.
Or buy that wine.
Buy whatever. The Bella Boy products coming very soon to you and your table.
And make sure you watch RuPaul's Drag Race.
Thank you very much.
I think that's pretty
October
evident.
16th well, starts All Stars. October 16th on Logo.
Hot.
RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars. MichelleVisage.com. WorldofWonder.net. Anything else?
Oh, yeah. One more thing.
The cruise. We talked about that. Yeah. I really wish you boys would come.
And make sure you guys watch our new TV show on Logo with all the four, with the five of us.
Yeah, exactly.
It's called
exactly.
One Girl and Four
It's called
Queens.
I Need a Job.
Someone hire me.
Chicago Gays.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.